Motion granted. Thank you, Mr. George. Next item on the agenda, Dirk Sanford requests a license locate 2-pound nets Chesapeake Bay between Lynn Haven Inlet and Cape Henry. Project is protested by onshore property owners, fishermen, and others. Mr. Travelstead.
We have additional public comment on this item. I believe there are 19 letters in that package, all of which are opposed to the proposal of Mr. Dirk Sanford to license and locate 2 additional pound nets in the Chesapeake Bay in the area between Lynn Haven Inlet and Cape Henry. Let me orient you to the map here, because it will help answer a number of questions and concerns that have been raised. This is Lynn Haven Inlet here, and the channelway or entranceway into that inlet. Cape Henry is over here. There are 4 existing pound net stands in the area now that you're quite familiar with, that are owned by Mr. Dimitri Hyonis. This is one of those nets. Another one is here. Another one is here. And then the last one is here.
Mr. Travelstead, for the record, is this picture to scale?
It is. This is a document or a map that was prepared by our engineering and surveying division, and I am told is accurate to within 1 centimeter. All of this was surveyed in with very capable GPS equipment. So these aren't guesses here, with a few exceptions. These are accurate. The 2 nets that are the locations of the nets that Mr. Sanford is proposing are here and offshore of Mr. Hyonis's net here. Let me address the first complaint that we received came from Mr. Hyonis himself, who indicated that he believes that the proposed locations of Mr. Sanford would not meet the lawfully required separation between pound nets that you find in the code. There's 2 separations required. One is that there be 300 feet between nets adjacent to one another. I'm sorry, 300 yards, and that there be 200 feet between nets in the same line. In this case, Mr. Sanford's net would be lawful. It does meet the 300-yard standard. There is, in fact, 946 feet between Mr. Hyonis's net. So that, with respect to the code, is lawful. This net does not meet the required separation distance as it was advertised. The description that we received from Mr. Sanford was that the net would begin 1,600 feet offshore, which would put it starting at this point, which means it would actually be on top of Mr. Hyonis's pound net. And the law requires that it actually start at that point, 200 feet away. So if at the end of the day you want to approve this net in this approximate location, you would have to start the tail end of the net here. And that, in fact, moves it further offshore than we thought it originally would be, if he maintains the length that he described. Mr. Hyonis has 2 other nets that he forfeits under the weakfish regulation and never sets. And they are located in these, we believe that the descriptions are vague, but we believe they're located in this area. And if they are in that area, they have no effect on Sanford's proposals here. They're far enough away. Mr. Sanford also owns another net, that he occasionally sets for a period of a day or two, and it's located in this general area and far away from the other nets. We received a variety of complaints from the public, and you have all of the public comment now. You'll see the list in the list of concerns that the public has listed in the evaluation, but they include public safety and a hazard to navigation that the additional nets will propose to people that navigate along the shoreline or who might cut short to enter Lynn Haven Inlet. It's disruptive to boating, sailing, jet skiing, kayaking, swimming near shore. And there have been some cases cited where sailboats have encountered the nets and overturned, creating very dangerous situations. The area along this beach, and there are photographs provided from one of the public comments on pages 16, 17, and 18 of the public comment that show aerial shots. The area is quite built up now, for those of you who aren't familiar with it. There are a couple of hotels there, several condominiums, and a lot of private residences along here. And the beach is quite a recreational use area, and the photographs that were provided to show that. One of the other complaints was that these nets will ensnare birds and dolphins. And in fact, one of the letters that we want to draw your attention to in particular is from the Virginia Aquarium, Mr. Mark Swingle. And you'll find that on page 20 of the public comment letters that describes the number of dolphin mortalities. Mr. Swingle is in charge of the Virginia Stranding Program for Marine Mammals, and he notes that the pound nets in this area have been responsible in the last 10 years for 40 dolphin mortalities from the pound net leaders. And he is currently engaged in a study with Mr. Hyonis to determine how the leaders of these pound nets might be modified to eliminate the entanglements of dolphins. And I believe he's here today to discuss that research and its results with you. The comments, for the most part, that we've received from the public are not atypical from all of the comments that we've received in other similar situations. When the beach and the near shore are used by the public, they're generally in opposition to this type of commercial activity going on. I will make you aware of this fish trap line that used to exist. Many years ago, the Corps of Engineers identified fish trap lines around the bay, and they were actually marked with buoys by the Coast Guard. And they were identified as areas that were safe for commercial fixed gear and established, you know, liability, who was liable inside or outside of the area if a vessel struck one of the nets. If you were within one of these fish trap lines, you were deemed to be safe. And although these lines no longer appear on charts and are no longer marked by the Coast Guard, I provide it simply as an indication that these nets are in a safe location, as far as the Coast Guard at one time deemed the case to be. Now, this area has obviously, you know, changed quite a bit in the last 30 years, and the activities that go on shore are obviously much more recreational than they once were. And I suppose you can, to some degree, I don't want to say ignore, but lessen the, you know, not totally agree with a lot of the public comment about whether or not these gentlemen have the right to be there and operate a commercial business. The code says as long as you're within a certain distance of another pound net, you can be there. as long as you have the license. The single biggest concern that staff cannot overcome on this, however, is the dolphin issue. The fact that we know that the existing nets there have resulted in the fatality of 40 animals in the last 10 years. And it's our belief that adding more nets to the area will result in still more dolphin mortality. There is a group that advises the National Marine Fisheries Service on how to reduce dolphin mortalities by making changes to certain fishing gear. It's called the Take Reduction Team, and they meet periodically to examine where dolphin mortalities are occurring and how, and make recommendations to the National Marine Fisheries Service to avoid those takes. The plan of the National Marine Fisheries Service and the Take Reduction Team is to reduce takes to as near zero as possible in the next 5 years. The Take Reduction Team is aware of the proposal of Mr. Sanford to locate two additional nets in this area. It is an extremely sensitive area for dolphins. And based on my own staff, Lewis Gillingham from our staff sits on this Take Reduction Team. And he advises me that the placement of additional pound nets in this area most definitely will be reviewed by the Take Reduction Team. And he's, you know, I think, convinced that it will result in some additional federal regulation of the pound net fishery. Maybe not just within this area, but within the southern portion of the bay, you know. That's our concern, that if we allow more nets here, that it could result in federal regulation of all pound nets in the area, and those regulations could affect the harvest from those nets by the people who own those nets. And with that in mind, we would recommend that you not approve Mr. Sanford's additional nets in the area. Just to bring you totally up to date, since Mr. Sanford made his application for two nets, we have received two additional applications, one from Mark Sanford, and it is proposed to be located here, and another from Mr. Charles Gregory, who proposes a net here. Those nets, or those proposals, are still the subject of 30-day public comment and will not be heard until your December meeting. So we'll be back here discussing this again next month. At this point, I'll be glad to answer any questions or clarify any point.
Any questions, Mr. Travelstead? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jack, do we have any data on where the takes occurred and which specific nets? In other words, there are proposals for a couple of different sites, and I noticed that one of them is basically sandwiched in between two of the nets that are already there. Do we know anything about where the takes have occurred?
I don't have data that identifies specific takes by specific nets. I believe Mr. Swingle is here, and he might be able to address that issue.
Okay.
Further questions, Mr. Travelstead? Thank you, Jack. Mr. Sanford here. Come forward. Raise your right hand. You solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you God?
I did.
Thank you. State your case.
Let me go back a second. I hate to keep y'all here all night long. Good afternoon, Commissioner and members of the Commission. My name is Dirk Sanford. I am a commercial fisherman, a husband, a father of three young children. My family has made a living on the Chesapeake Bay and Atlantic Ocean since the early 1800s. I come here today to ask that you grant my two pound net licenses outside of Lynn Haven Inlet in the Cape Henry vicinity. I currently hold one pound net license in this area and really need one or two more licenses. Of these two licenses, I really only want to fish one because I plan to give one up to keep weak fish or gray trout. From my understanding, there are a few people that don't want me to fish this area, and I'd like to address those issues today because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding. First off, I'd like to point out that this area has been historically fished with pound nets since the 1800s. Back in the early 1900s, the Army Corps of Engineers set aside areas for pound netters. These areas became known as the fish state net areas. My two pound nets fall within this boundary. The United States Coast Guard and the Army Corps of Engineers recognized these areas as non-navigable borders of the United States. And I further like to state, I know Jack said those Magenta lines on the outside are no longer on charts. They still are on charts, and there are notes in there that they are fish state net areas. In the United States Coast Pilot, which is basically provides supplemental information to mariners that may be difficult to portray on nautical charts. In that book, the Coast Pilot, Chapter 1, page 8, reads as follows. I'm quoting this. Fish trap areas are areas established by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers or state or local authority in which traps may be built and maintained according to established regulations. It also goes on to say, and I quote, the limits of fish trap areas, and a cautionary note, are usually charted. Navigators should avoid these areas. I'd also like to mention that there are no channels within a mile of these proposed nets. There has been several pound nets in this area for well over 100 years. Several pound net crews have worked this area all at the same time. At times, nets were lined up two, three, and even four in a row going from the beach to the offshore end. Pound netters such as Kenny Etheridge, Billy Dunn, George Ross, Albert Heath, David Wilson, Millard Fisher, Henry Brathwaite, Alton Hudgens, Payne Grimstead, John Buchanan, and Charles Whitehead had all fished this area since 1900. I am a 15-year resident of Cape Story by the Sea and a lifelong resident of Virginia Beach. Cape Story by the Sea is a neighborhood that borders my two proposed nets. I'm very concerned about my neighbors' inquiries about these nets. After all, my family shares the same beach, schools, roads, and parks. Recently, I've met with the Civic League to discuss this matter, and I believe that a lot of information, they had a lot of misinformation, and a lot of them were concerned about nets going on the beach, which they wouldn't. They thought it would impede them from being able to swim in the water, which my nets would be over 500 feet from the beach out, and plus they'd be in deeper water where nobody swims. Also explained that nets are not in the neighborhood, and after the meeting, I had several people approach me and explain that they were misinformed and sympathetic to my cause. I have discussed the placement of my nets with other users of this area. I explained where they would be. I talked to crab potters, gill netters, hall seiners, and recreational fishermen, and also sail netters. None had any problems with the placement of my nets. The crab potters were excited because it had been hard for them to obtain fresh bait. Gill netters said they didn't fish that area. Hall seiners said that the nets draw the fish to the beach. And the recreational fishermen said it's not an area that is fished, and there are areas around Chesapeake Bay, Bridgestone, that produce a lot of more fish. Also, the thought of being able to get live bait was a great idea from the recreational fishermen. The sailboater I talked to told me that the nets would not be a hazard to his sailing. The nets will be of all legal distance from other pound nets. I know there's one pound netter down in this area who is concerned about his nets. He believes that if my nets are placed there, his company will not be able to catch enough fish to support themselves. Fortunately for him, there are laws and regulations that prohibit the placement of pound nets closer to him within 300 yards. The Division of Protected Marine Resources, set up by the National Marine Fisheries Service, they put the pound net fishery in a Category 2 fishery, which means they expect some dolphin or mammal entanglement or encounter. Category 1 fisheries take more marine mammals and Category 3s take less, or none at all. Thonet's falling between as a Category 2. Currently, there are no regulations by National Marine Fisheries Service, state, or local authorities as to where thonets can be placed, and definitely no regulations in the Cape Henry vicinity. By buying a Virginia thonet license, National Marine Fisheries Service automatically enrolls you with a Marine Mammal Authorization Certificate. The certificate allows you to take marine mammals by accident without being prosecuted by the government. So basically, by placing thonets in a Category 2 fishery, National Marine Fisheries Service doesn't recognize it as a big problem. National Marine Fisheries Service already has a bottlenose dolphin take reduction plan and a bottlenose dolphin take reduction team that meets yearly to address issues affecting bottlenose dolphin. The bottlenose dolphin take reduction plan does not require pound-net fishermen to do anything to reduce dolphin interaction as of right now. Fishermen are using pound-nets in this area and the rest of Virginia and taking a few dolphins. If my proposed nets are such a problem, then why has National Marine Fisheries addressed this issue under the bottlenose dolphin take reduction plan? National Marine Fisheries Service is the agency under the Marine Mammal Protection Act, was in charge of protecting marine mammals, and they don't have an issue with me or anybody else in Virginia to set a pound net. They haven't banned or stopped this fishery or made regulations or gear modifications to protect dolphins. National Marine Fisheries Service already has regulations for sea turtles, and I will follow those and work with National Marine Fisheries Service, State of Virginia, and including the Marine Science Museum and VIMS on testing any kind of gear to protect dolphin as long as it allows me to still fish and retain fish. Furthermore, I plan to use a modified leader throughout the year. From the information I've gathered from pound netters, they work as good as a traditional leader, are less maintenance, cost less, and still catch as many fish as traditional leaders. Also, with two-thirds less webbing, it would be less likely to encounter a dolphin. As you all know, I previously had two licenses for which I purchased nets for. There's only a few places I can use them, and I chose these locations because I thought they would have less impact on everyone else that uses this area. Furthermore, I would like to mention the jobs this would produce. I will employ commercial crabbers that have been misplaced by current regulations. Most of these people have never held jobs off the water. Not only will it help me, but the last fish house in Windhaven that buys from watermen will have something to do in the summertime. Also, these nets will be able to help other people that cater to the commercial fishing industry. And thank you, and I hope you approve these nets.
Thank you, Mr. Sanford. Any questions, Mr. Sanford?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Robbins.
Dirk, if I may, the arrangement of the nets that are proposed, one of them is in between the existing nets, and while that might address some of the navigation concerns, the bottlenose dolphin issue it seems to me a bigger one. Our staff has suggested that adding additional nets in this area, given the sensitivity of the takes that have occurred there, might invite additional federal regulation of the entire fishery. What are your comments on that issue?
I am aware of this, and as of right now, there's no proof that there will be more regulations. I believe with putting a modified leader, that will reduce the catch of dolphins by two-thirds, I guess, because you only have a third of the webbing in the water. They do recognize that there are dolphins being taken, and I think, in my belief, that with the turtle regulations elsewhere in the bay where they have to put up modified leaders, for some reason, which I don't understand, this area was exempt from having to place the modified leaders. And I think if they were to include this area, placement of modified leaders, that would, pretty much stop any kind of interaction with dolphin. And there would be no turtle takes. Also, I'd like to mention about that other net where it overlaps. I guess maybe I had miscalculation, but I did plan to keep it 200 feet off that one net.
Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you, Mr. Sanford.
I'd like maybe have a chance to come back up here and
sure.
address it anymore.
Absolutely. You have 2 minutes to rebut. That's the usual. Anyone else in here in favor of the net? Yes, sir.
Afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir.
Steve Snyder, let me first emphasize that although I am in uniform, I am not a representative of the United States Navy here. I'm a resident of Cape Story by the Sea. And I'm aware of Mr. Sanford's efforts. I'm aware of a lot of the opposition to it. I was initially a resident of the Virginia Beach area back in 1995, and am proud to share my residence with people who make a living on the sea. And I consider Mr. Sanford's efforts here part of that important infrastructure that we enjoy as recreational people by the water. So let me tell you why I'm not representing the Navy here. A couple of things I am representing. I am representing the residents of Cape Story by the Sea. Moved into the neighborhood about 2.5 years ago, and I remember watching my first sunset over the Chesapeake Bay, seeing the pound nets and saying that is an awesome interaction between our ability to enjoy the recreation aspects and the commercial aspects that we share with our neighbors. I heard a couple of the oppositions, and I know these are not the primary ones, but kayakers and swimming. I'm a kayaker, and I am a triathlete and open water swimmer. I can tell you that I've had an issue with neither. I swim in front of the pound nets. I'm well aware of where they are. I actually kayak around the pound nets. I fly fish around the pound nets, and they've never proven to be an issue for me. So I do not see that as an issue. I'm a member of the Virginia Beach Marine Science Museum and a donor to the Chesapeake Bay Foundation. I'm concerned about the dolphin impact. I understand that's certainly something that needs to be researched. Mr. Robbins, I think you ask an important question, and that is to get some real specific facts about it. There's one thing to say that there's a 40 dolphin impact to these nets, but I think, and particularly with Mr. Sanford's efforts to ensure that there's a reduction in that impact, we need to investigate to ensure that that continues. But I guess I'd ask the broader question, and that is, if that becomes the primary concern, then what I would say is that you need to remove the pound nets and eliminate that risk altogether. So I think you've got to look at that as a one or the other, not a hybrid that would be discriminatory to Mr. Sanford's plans. Again, I look at the opportunity I have as a recreational waterman to share, and I'm privileged to be able to share that with those that are commercial watermen, and as such, I strongly endorse Mr. Sanford's effort to put the pound nets out. Any questions for me?
Any questions to the captain? Captain, you said that you spoke for the Cape Story by the Sea citizens.
I speak as a resident of the Cape Story by the Sea community.
Okay, I just need a clarification. Thank you. Further questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you for all you do for the country. Yes, sir.
Charlie Gregory. I'm another applicant down there.
Charlie, raise your right hand. Solemnly swear testimony you're about to give be the truth, the whole truth, none but the truth, so help you God.
I do, Mr. Bevan. You know, I support this fishery down there. Y'all put a lot of restrictions on us in the past. We've had to go on other means of trying to make a living. We all crab potted, and the restrictions cut us pretty hard this year. We found these applications, sites, licenses available, so we've applied for them down there. We don't want to make no grief with the porpoises or, you know, interactions with them or mankind at all. We get enough bad publicity as it is now, being commercial fishermen with mammal intakes and all that. And I see you approving Mr. Sanford's licenses. It'll enable more people to have a few jobs. Spots Fish Company, he needs these fish in the summertime. I mean, there's not really much of a fishery down in Lynnhaven for us. Our crab restrictions are going to hurt us. I mean, they've hurt us now. You give Mr. Sanford those licenses, and y'all might not approve all four of those licenses accepted there, but, you know, we don't want no interactions with the porpoise. We don't want bad publicity. We're willing to work with those people, modified leaders, or any other new laws and rules and regulations that come about, but y'all definitely need to think about it for the positive aspect for watermen. I mean, it's a big thing for everybody, and Mr. Hyenas, he's got four traps down there now. We don't see him having the exclusive rights to being able to only fisherman down there. Payne Grimstead, he was my grandfather. We fished in those traps for a long time. I mean, for him to have the only rights down there to fish, it's not fair to us other watermen.
Any questions, Mr. Gregory? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yep. Anyone else in support of this? Anyone in opposition? Okay. Gentleman in with the blue notepad, or with the notepad first.
If I could ask Mr. Alves to go first, is that the reason?
My shoulder.
Probably
brain. This commission is impressed with brevity, as my predecessor used to say.
Brevity, what is it? Brevity is the soul of wit.
Yeah. Can we do this? Who's going to testify on this matter? Y'all all please rise. Raise your right hand. Y'all solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, to help you God.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Be seated. State your name, please.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. My name is Dave Albus, and I am here as an officer of the Cape Story Civic Association. And I'm here on behalf of MC Munden, who is the president of Cape Story Civic Association. She could not be here, and so I am. You've heard the name Cape Story. That is true. That's the neighborhood where these nets are basically going to be positioned off the coast. Cape Story Civic Association is made up of 670 homes right along this waterway. And the people of these homes use the Lower Chesapeake Bay quite a bit. And although the main issue that Mr. Travelstead has brought to your attention is a matter of dolphins, I can assure you that additional pound nets will have an impact on the human population that's down there. Our concern as a civic association is one of quality of life and safety. And because of the quality of life and safety issues, we are opposed as a civic association to any additional pound nets in that area. And that's my brief statement, gentlemen.
Any questions for the gentleman? Thank you, sir. Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Tankard?
Cape Story by the sea. You just heard from a fellow there whose grandfather was fishing. Did you, as a group, know that there were pound nets there before you got there at all?
I don't understand. Whether Cape, as a
pound nets have been
probably
there.
Probably pound nets there before the development of the neighborhood.
Right.
But Virginia Beach, as you probably well know, was an agricultural community long before it became the most highly populated city in the state of Virginia. And as Mr. Travelstead so eloquently put forth, that area has changed quite a bit. It is the most densely populated area of the city of Virginia Beach. So as far as what was there, the 16, 17, 1800s, I can't answer that from a neighborhood standpoint. All I can do is address it from a current standpoint.
Further questions, the gentleman? Thank you, sir. Who's
Thank
next?
You.
Thank you. Have a good
day. And may I be excused? I have another meeting to go
you
to.
You may be excused.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen, for having me here today. My name is Mark Swingle. I'm with the Virginia Aquarium and Marine Science Center in Virginia Beach, Virginia. You probably see there's a letter from us in your package. My current title is the Director of Research and Conservation at the Aquarium, and I've been with the Aquarium for almost 28 years. I should also mention that I am a Cape Story resident as well, and so I do have a lot of knowledge of the area there as well. I've been in the Cape Story resident for over 25 years, and I grew up in Virginia Beach in the Lynn Haven area, so that's where I've spent my life. Just to give you a little bit of background before I touch on the dolphin issue, because I think that's the issue you're probably most interested in. In addition to that, in my role at the aquarium, since I've worked at the aquarium starting in 1983, we have been fishing with the pound net fishermen at Cape Henry as part of our operations and over the years, and we've continued to do that since that time. In that 25-year plus time, we fished with Kenny Etheridge, who owned those nets prior to Mr. Hyonas owning those nets. And in that time, those are the only pound nets that I've been aware of in that area that have been fished. I've never seen another pound net fished in that area since I've been out there. And again, we've fished regularly with them for 25-plus years. So that's a little bit of background, just to let you know that we do have some experience with the pound nets as well. We know how they work. We know what they do. In addition to that, in the past year, and I do want to correct the statement that I heard earlier that that the bottlenose dolphin take reduction team, and I should say I'm also a member with Lewis of the bottlenose dolphin take reduction team. And I do want to state very clearly that the take reduction team does consider these nets at Cape Henry very seriously. We heard the statement that there haven't been any regulation put forth from this group as for these particular nets. But to be quite honest, you know, some of us who support commercial fishing, by the way, we're not anti-commercial fishing. We do happen to think that it should be done sustainably and it should not affect animals like bottlenose dolphins in a negative way if we certainly can help it. And one of the reasons that I don't think they've taken any additional action in this one particular area is because we've said we thought we might be able to solve this problem without regulation, something that I think everybody from the fishing community to on up feels is a very valuable thing. This past summer, and actually the past 2 years, we've been working with Mr. Hyonas on a project to examine an alternative leader to fish in this area that may help solve the problem. That's just a little bit of background for you all. I'm not going to go into all the details of it. If you have any questions about it, I'll be happy to answer it. You heard the statement earlier that we have a lot of evidence that bottlenose dolphins are taken in this gear. I can't tell you all the reasons why this particular area is so important and has so many interactions with dolphins, but I can tell you that from our study over the years, we think that the dolphin population at Cape Henry is as dense as any place on the whole East Coast during summertime. There's more dolphins around Cape Henry than probably anywhere on the whole East Coast of the U.S. It's a very, very important place for dolphins. You know, there are young animals being born there. There are large, large groups of animals there. And this is consistently seen over the course of almost 20 years that we've been studying dolphins in that area. So it is an area where there are a lot of animals. They do have to negotiate around this gear. They do have to swim around it. Just like boats have to go around it, they swim around it. They can't go through it. They have to swim around it. You heard the number of 40 dolphins. The number could actually be a lot higher. We're very conservative about the numbers that we put on this particular gear. And that's because the way you determine if an animal's been entangled in something is, well, one, you can go out there and actually find the animal in the gear. That's obviously a pretty good indication. In that same period of time that we've been discussing, the last 10 to 15 years, we've also released 7 animals from the gear that were called in. We got the call while they were still alive. We went out and we were able to get them out before they died. And so, in addition, so those don't show up in those numbers you see for mortalities because we got there soon enough and we were able to let those animals out of the gear. But we know that these pound net leaders, for whatever reason in this location, pose a great risk to bottlenose dolphins. And the numbers of animals that we're seeing there are as much for any commercial fishing gear as you'll find up and down the East Coast. So it's a very high-risk area. And I can tell you that from the perspective of the take reduction team, when we go back to the take reduction team this year, what we hope to present to them is that Mr. Hyonas has worked with us. We've identified a leader that may help the situation and that we hope that that's going to be adopted in the future and maybe we can reduce some risk in this area. But I can tell you right now, and this is the reason why we are opposed to any additional nets in this area, is that additional nets pose additional risk. First of all, we simply don't know whether what we're proposing right now will work completely. We believe that it will have a significant impact on dolphin mortalities in these nets. But we don't know that for a fact. And until it's out there and operational for a while, we really won't know the answer to that. And it's science, you know. I mean, we've got to put it out there, and then there's no way to put one net out there in a season and get the answer to that question. Somebody asked the question earlier, is there a particular net that's involved here or something like that? Because there are 4 different nets being fished out there. I can tell you that over the years we've pulled dolphins out of every one of those nets. So there's no way we could identify right now to you that there's a particular net that's the problem because we've seen dolphins entangled in all of those nets that are out there. So there doesn't seem to be any particular magic about one location versus another in terms of where the interactions are occurring. That's pretty much what I have to say. I think you all know what our position is, and if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Any questions, gentlemen? Dr. McConaughey.
Yeah, Mark. You've got 2 years of data on this new leader. What do you think it's doing?
Well, keep in mind that the goal of this project was really to investigate the fishability of the gear in this location. There's no way with one location in the amount of time that we've had it out there that we'd get any significant data on whether there's been a reduction in bottlenose dolphin mortalities. Just to give you an example, I mean, we've been out there for 2 years, but the first year we didn't have the experimental leader in place. We were just out there developing our methodologies for measuring the catch. This year was the first year we had the experimental leader in place. And this year we have recorded 5 bottlenose dolphin mortalities from the pound net area. So there were mortalities this year, even though we had an experimental leader in place. And that's my point, is that we have no way of... We believe that this gear will not entangle dolphins or will certainly reduce the risk very much from the risk that exists now. But until we have that gear in place and we have it operating for a few seasons, we're not going to know the final answer to that question. I don't know if I answered your question.
Follow up,
Doctor.
Yeah. You said you had 5 mortalities. Were they in the net or just in the area?
And that's a good that gets back to, you know, determining mortalities from this gear. Some of the animals are pulled out of the gear and are relatively fresh. And this can get to be a little bit of a long-winded explanation. I don't want to keep you all here any longer than need be, but if you want to hear this, I'll tell you exactly how this happens. We conduct examinations and animal autopsies or necropsies on these animals when we find them. Obviously, if you pull them out of the gear, well, there's some direct evidence they're involved with gear. But even if that happens, we are then able to look at the animals and tell whether or not there's been a tissue reaction where these animals have been entangled, which means they were entangled before they died. That's something that pathology can tell you and things like that. In addition to animals we actually pull out of the gear, we have animals that wash up on the beach in the vicinity of the gear, and they have marks on them that match the line marks and the netting structure of these particular types of gear. It's a twisted twine, specific mesh size gear. And to our knowledge, there's no other twisted twine gear fished in that area like that. So that's where we get other mortalities that we believe can be attributed to that net, although obviously because we didn't actually pull it out of the gear, there are possibilities of some questions about that. But again, we feel like there's a lot of really good evidence for the fact that these mortalities are occurring in this gear. We pull animals out alive, we pull animals out dead, and we find animals on the beach in the vicinity that are fresh, that have marks that are consistent with the gear.
Thank you, sir. Further questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Who's next? Let me get to Tom. I think it's... Yes, sir. Then you're next, Tom.
I'll be quick.
Really?
I don't believe it. If you all turn to your books in the back where the state constitution is, Article 11, Section 1...
Public trust doctrine.
...says...
In the regulation.
...says... Well, it's in the regulation, too, but it refers to it. ...says that whereas there is adequate amount of natural resources for recreational use, the state shall develop for business. My contention, or what I suggest you consider when you do this, this is one of the higher density recreational areas in the state, from the shoreline all the way around probably to Buckrow Beach. And the consideration of how much commercial gear can be in there, fixed commercial gear, versus gillnets that's there and back and gone during the summer, there during the winter, should be something you should consider.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, which is the mic?
That's the one.
Thank you. I'm Robert Lowe, President of the Landings Homeowners Condo Association, 78 units right here, and right before the desk, and Mariner's Mark, which is on the other side of the hotel, also has asked me to talk on their behalf. We really didn't have any advance notice of this. It's all been a very last week and a half, probably, in the neighborhood, finding out about it and trying to come and find out how we could present our views to you. We respect the commercial fishermen. We understand it's been done for hundreds of years. But the area, both dolphins, which I'll address, but the recreational area has greatly increased in the last 20 to 30 years and more. And it's now a very, very dense area of hundreds of units and a lot more people coming down to do recreational during the day, including windsurfing, kiteboarding, and things that get involved with the nets. There is a safety issue, which I think really needs to be of concern. And then there is the dolphin issue. In addition, and I don't know the exact footage that you gentlemen are dealing with, and as I said, we did not get any notifications. My understanding that if we had lived within 500 feet of these nets, we would have gotten notification living on the bayfront. But the city of Virginia Beach has in place a sand replenishment that is going to put the beach out closer to the nets. I'm not sure of the footage, but I think it's going to, very shortly, by 2010, I believe, be within your constraints that you have to be concerned with. We've heard that this area is one of the most areas of density for dolphins. Dolphins are something that, in addition to the federal restrictions, that we all love. We all really enjoy nature, and the dolphins are probably the epitome of what we can see. And to have in this one area, which is dolphin territory, so to speak, to be the place where we put in barriers and killers to these dolphins just seems to be something that we all should be concerned with. There are many more dolphins. We watch them go ahead, and as one of the gentlemen say, swim along the nets, come in, come around, and work their way through. We're putting other nets within that same area in which they are now traversing. I don't see how they cannot increase the number of, as you call it, take, as we call it, killing. We respectfully request that you deny this request and also request for the additional pound nets that you're meeting on next month. If you do deny this, we would like to know if we should be coming to the next meeting to also present it. Well, at that point, I would think more of the neighborhood would be aware of it. Right now, it's been something that's just been a grassroots reply in the last couple of weeks. Thank you very much.
Sir, just for your information, any actions taken on this individual application does not have a direct implication on any other applications that may be before us.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you, sir. Questions, gentlemen? Thank you, sir. Who's next? You've been sworn.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. Thank you very much for the opportunity to be here today. My name is Dr. John Onifer, and I'm a resident of Cape Shores by the Sea, and I live on Oak Street and Ocean Shore Avenue at that corner. My family, which includes my wife, my two daughters, and my parents, have lived in Cape Story area for many years, and we've enjoyed the beaches there. In fact, what's attracted many of the families to this area has been the very quiet beaches, the porpoises or dolphins swimming through the area, the ability to enjoy the water sports, which are not the same that you can do on the ocean front because it's a little calmer water, so that when you have small children, you can take them out in a sailboat, you can go kayaking or swimming or do a lot of the things that you can't necessarily do on the other areas of the beach. So this beach is really a beach for families. It attracts older couples, and it's for people who enjoy water sports. But I'm here today because I really believe that this beach and this community is in peril. The neighborhood is not a very wealthy area. It's not an area like the north end of the beach where we have extraordinarily large homes. We have a community that has a lot of homes where homeowners have very small bungalows, and a lot of them in order to stay in this community, have to rent out duplexes in their houses themselves. And this is in part to pay for the rising taxes in this area. Every weekend you can watch neighbors from a crossover, the very busy intersection of Shore Drive, bringing their sailboats, their kayaks, their windsurfers, and heading to the beach to enjoy the day. So we actually draw from a fairly large area. So what impact do the pound nets have on the this economically fragile community? Well, for an example, what I'll tell you is that we have renters coming from this area for over 35 years from New Jersey. They're second generation, and I'm sure they're going to rethink their reservation for next year when they find out that their father will not be able to teach their children how to sail in this area, as the nets will stop them being only 300 feet apart from doing any type of jiving with any or tacking with any safety. His brother-in-law, who rents the house further down the street, won't be able to be learning how to windsurf because the distance to the nets will be too small to enable them to safely negotiate the area without any injury. And his wife, who loves to watch the dolphins at the sunset, will be very disappointed because these are going to either entrap them or prevent them from even being in the area. We also have a community of French Canadians who come down for weeks or two at a time who are going to start looking for other beaches or other areas to find vacation areas. And then we have, of course, the ocean swimmers. And a lot of these, when it's at low tide, are not very far off that. And they swim between the conference center with a resort hotel and from the state park. And will they have a safe circuit anymore with more the increased density of pound nets? So I'd also like you to look at this from a standpoint that it's a very difficult economic times. And allowing these pound nets to be built may help increase two fishermen get an increase in catch. But they are very significant risk of destabilizing our neighborhood. And one of the fundamental values of that neighborhood, which is the beach. I would I do believe that these would result in lower housing values for the area and would change our beach landscape and permanently negatively impact on our neighborhood. I ask you to vote no on adding additional pound nets to the Cape Story Beach area.
Thank you, Doctor. Any questions of the doctor? Thank you, sir. Who's next? Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening. I guess it is about evening.
Yes, ma'am, it is.
So, hi, my name is Lisa Bailey, and I, too, am a resident of Cape Story by the Sea neighborhood. I live on the bayfront, and I have lived there for 15 years. And I believe that nobody is more in tune with this beach and what goes on than myself and my family. We enjoy the beach in all seasons. We walk it in the winter, when it's cold, when it's windy. We kayak, catamaran, swim, and windsurf. Obviously, I'm here to oppose these new pound net applications, and as I understand it now, will I have to come back for the next meeting for the next set of pound net applications?
Yes, ma'am.
So,
haven't decided whether it's going to be December or January yet, though, but okay. Public notice will be there.
All right, thank you. And I'd like to say we are not against the commercial fishermen, and Mr. Sanford is a member of our neighborhood, and our children do go to school together. However, we need to share the bay. However, I am against these additional nets because they do not make sound public policy. The area surrounding the bay has drastically changed ever since I have moved here. It is not the same beach it was 20 to 30 years ago. As mentioned before, there is great population density in this area because people desire to live near the beach and take part of the activities there. I believe in the letter that had photos is probably from my husband. And the reason he sent photos was to give you, it's hard to see what you see on the shore and what you see from the neighborhood just from a top view map there. And I also, and I only have two, can I bring these up to you?
Yes, ma'am, but we will have to keep them for 33 days on appeal.
You're welcome to have them.
Okay, thank you.
Keep it 33 days.
Thank you, Ms. Ma'am. 33 days.
What I've done there is simply put some pictures so you can see on a summer day. This is basically from my house looking west towards the fishing pier. You can see the people enjoying the beach, obviously. I'm going east looking towards Fort Story. I think I'm about right in the center of things. Also, you can see the proximity of the pound nets to shore, especially on low tide, with the children on the sandbar. and then a view from a kayak looking at the from the current town nets back at the beach. I tried to pull some numbers so you can have an idea of the density of the area, and I pulled, which I'm happy to give you, this is from the Virginia Beach Appraiser website from the city of Virginia Beach, and I've highlighted all the neighborhoods that are either directly on the bay from the fishing pier towards Cape Story, or the neighborhoods like right behind Cape Story, which is Cape Henry Shores, and all those people come to the beach. So I'd be happy to give you this.
Thank you.
And then I did do a hand-done map there to show you where some of those neighborhoods are and trying to give you the amount of residents that are coming from those neighborhoods. And again, I'm only trying to look at the Lynn Haven Fishing Pier going towards First Landing State Park.
Okay.
And the number of homes there is approximately 2,300 homes. And that's not to mention the Virginia Beach Resort Hotel, which has 295 rooms. I believe they've written a letter of protest. First Landing State Park has 222 campsites. They now have a day use area there where people can come, pay a fee, and use the beach for the day. They have facilities. First Landing State Park on the bay and on the land side has 1.8 million visitors annually. And I got these numbers from Mr. Fred Hazelwood, who is with First Landing State Park. And their day use facilities are used by the kiteboarders and the windsurfers, especially now in the fall when the winds are up very well. And then lastly, the last thing that I gave you was just a hand map of where the residents are, from our information, believe that this application of pound nets and the one that's going to be discussed in another month are. And you should also be aware we have two halseners on our beach, and we do have gill nets on our beach. So we have quite a bit of commercial fishing going on. And just from my perspective, the pound nets are fixed devices, and they are a navigational hazard. I've seen boaters come in dangerously close to swimmers while trying to go around the nets near the shore. So while it may not be affecting the swimmers, the boats are coming in around towards the shore, and there are swimmers out there, and sometimes I wonder if the boaters really do see them. We have a catamaran, and I am always nervous that we're going to clear those poles to get out into the channel. I've seen quite a few windsurfers in the net, including my husband. Yeah, he wasn't happy. I've seen children in kayaks get caught by sudden winds and strong currents, which pushes you into the poles. And as you know, the poles are covered with barnacles, and they do cause injury. I myself have three children, and my oldest son is 10 years old, and he's learning to windsurf. So I am understandably very nervous about him being there. In 2001, my husband contacted Councilman Linwood Branch of Virginia Beach City Council back then, and he had his, assistant investigate and talk to the VMRC. And I'd just like to paraphrase from that letter because I do believe times have changed.
What year was this?
This is 2001.
Okay.
And this is a Virginia Beach City staffer writing a memo, and then Councilman Branch read it, and then it was faxed to us, actually. It says, I understand from your voicemail that the inquiry had to do with a sailboarder or user of other form of personal watercraft who felt that the nets or poles supporting them were impediment to navigation, and that this location is sanctioned for fishing activity, and that there are navigation channels through and around these devices. Said another way, the devices are not in a bona fide navigation channel. The concern for out-of-channel navigation did not impress the VMRC. The paraphrased response to the inquiry, tell them to use the channel. I think that given the population growth in this area and that the response is no longer valid or acceptable, there's no way I'm going to put my 10-year-old son out in the channel to learn to windsurf. And as Bob Lowe mentioned, it was only by chance I happened to see the notice that was published in the Beacon, started contacting neighbors, people that would be interested, and the civic associations, and people began written protests. But had this come up and had we been given notice in the summer, we could have walked up the beach and had a lot of response, and I think your mailbox would be overflowing versus we've just tried our efforts in the last 2 weeks to get people to respond. So in closing, the Marine Resource Commission is a government agency, and under the Constitution of Virginia, Article 1, Bill of Rights, Section 3, that government is or ought to be instituted for the common benefit, protection, and security of the people. That is best which is capable of producing the greatest degree of happiness and safety. I believe the Marine Resource Commission should deny these additional nets due to safety of the area residents. Common sense says more nets are asking for trouble. In this situation, sound public policy is to deny these applications.
Thank you, ma'am. Is that Mr. Hyonas?
Good evening.
Good evening.
2004, the nets, it was for sale 5 years before that. I purchased the nets from Kenny Etheridge. As the applicant mentioned before Kenny Etheridge, he was not alone there. It was three other pound netters, which I never saw them. I've been here for 31 years, and I never saw those pound nets. And I tried to find out why they're not there anymore. Well, 31 years ago, I bring my family here, and my father and my family were all like fish. We like to eat fish and fishing. We are a fishing family. And we went to Kenny Etheridge at that time, has the pound nets, and we purchased the fish from there, and I thought it was about 25 to 30 cents. That was 31 years ago. 31 years after, I still sell my fish for 30 or 50 cents the most. That's the reason the other 2 pound netters left, and they did not stay there. There was not enough for all this together to stay there. Mr. Etheridge, when he left the company, he left a lot of people without pay because he was not enough money to make on these pound nets. If we increase the pound nets there, what it's going to do is going to pretty much shut me down. And I don't see how can I survive with 2 more pound nets next to me. One more, if I can show this map that I get it from your officers. I did never see this map before. Is there a new one? So this is accurate? This is what? It's okay, my pound nets is not there. My pound nets. Can I show them from here?
Okay.
I have 6 pound nets. I choose to use only 4. They say I have to have 2 for feeders so I can keep the trout. To be able to keep the trout, but I never catch any trout. The last 4 years that I own the nets, I never catch any trout. So the reason I never use the 6 nets is because what the lady said that was going to have a strong opposition, and eventually it was going to shut me down completely from that area because people are very upset about the pound nets. But according to Mr. Benis, that he bring me the map, I never have this chart. The only thing I know where is my pound net is from a man that he works there for 25 years. He tell me where it was the 2 for-feeder nets before. And one of the nets, it's exactly out here. Oh, where are they?
Time's up.
You're fine. You just indicated. Put that up there where it's safe. Just right there.
Okay. One of the nets is falling almost right, less than 300 yards from what Mr. Applicant. He just put the, he's trying to apply for the same area that I have my forfeiter net, and the other one, it's right in this one here. According to what Mr. Benitz, he gave me the last time, which is a BMRC officer, he came up and he gave me these plans. Mr. Salford, he has also another net here, but I never see it in 31 years. If this is such a profitable operation, why we never have it? I think if Granite give it to this application, I see the future of that completely die, and nobody's going to make any money out of it. I'm positive. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hyonas. Anyone else? Mr. Sanford, you've got a couple minutes to rebut, please, sir. And I do mean a couple. Please.
I know Jack said there was a lot of protest, but he also didn't mention that there were letters in support of these nets. Is that correct? Yeah. Okay. Also, I know he mentioned that there was two hotels in that area, and there is only one hotel in that area. And I also was wondering if my applications are denied today, if I could apply for fike nets or weir nets or state gill nets and not have to go through the public review process, and maybe once the modified leaders are proven that they work, that I would be able to turn those sites into pound net sites. And I just wonder if I have to get through the process of this so I could put other nets there until.
The 30-day public interest review regulation only applies to pound nets. It does not apply to other fixed gear. The fike nets, staked gill nets can be placed anywhere, you know, in accordance with the law without a public interest review.
And that includes fish weirs too, right?
I believe
it says fike nets, weir nets.
Yeah, I'm not even sure what a weir net is.
A weir net is similar to a pound net, if not bigger. Is that correct?
I've heard the term, but...
Weir nets. Well, basically, weir nets are similar to pound nets, except they have the big leaders on them. Up north, they build them, and inside they have a big bay, I guess.
I'm familiar with them.
Travel in them, and they come in there and they haul sand out. So it is possible that I could apply for these.
You sure could. You really could. But and I would. I'll keep my mouth shut. But you have to be very careful what you ask for, because although the law may not be in place now, and these certain situations are not addressed by the Marine Resources Commission, these specific locations and devices and things like that, the public does have a right to make their concerns known in other forms as well. So, you know, you can do that, sure. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I agree. I mean, everybody should have a part in this.
Absolutely.
There's more than one user. I feel like if my nets are not out there and there's concern that people that we're going to take dolphins, maybe we should look deeper into having those other nets removed. It just makes sense. I believe a lot of these pound net leaders, they act as fences, and a lot of things get washed into them, trees, dolphins, and I think there's blame on pound netters, that they blame them because they see a dolphin or birds, for that matter, or turtles that have been killed of natural causes or disease or ship strikes. And I think pound netters get blamed for that a lot. So, not all of the animals that wash up in it are the fault of pound netters. I've lived around that shoreline my whole life. I grew up on the other side of the bridge, but I sailed in this area. I had boats as a kid. I've never really had any problems with pound nets. Back in the 70s and 80s, there was a considerable amount of pound nets off Chesapeake Beach and this area, and I never really realized there was a problem with it. If anything, I enjoyed sailing around them.
Wrap up for me, please, sir.
Okay. Thanks. I know there's a lot of homes in Cape Story, and my nets are not in Cape Story. I want to make that clear. They're not in that neighborhood. And there's probably not a number of homes in Cape Story have not drastically increased since the late 1970s. There's only been a few. Most of those
are old cottages, and they've been torn down and rebuilt homes. So people moved there, there was found nets there, and, you know, they accepted that. And anyway, to close this up, I realize that y'all have the power to approve, not approve, or also you have the power to move these nuts in other locations. And if y'all feel like that these nuts shouldn't be put in these locations, I ask that maybe we could have a group or some kind of committee formed where y'all may find it to be, you know, for me to be able to put my nets. That's pretty much all I have to say, and I appreciate you for listening to me.
Thank you, sir. Any questions, Mr. Sanford? No, sir. That's a public hearing is over at this point. We're almost quasi-judicial. He has a chance. Do you have a question?
I have one question, follow-up question for staff.
Oh, absolutely.
Jack, is there any way for the applicant, is there any consultative process that the applicant could avail himself of with the with NOAA or the PDT, or I mean the TRT? For example, if the experimental leaders bear fruit in the coming year, for example, could he have some sort of consultative process with NOAA?
Well, I'm not sure that that would be possible, but Lewis Gillingham of our staff serves on that TRT. Mr. Swingle is another Virginia member, and there are several other Virginians who serve on that are in the industry. And I would certainly encourage Mr. Sanford to contact all of those individuals so that he's, you know, well aware that of what does occur at the TRT meetings. He might even attend those. They're public meetings, correct? Yeah. So, you know, an opportunity for him in March in Virginia Beach. So.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Holland.
I move the adoption of staff recommendation.
Is there a second to the motion?
Let's have some discussion.
Have some discussion on it?
Yeah. I would like to.
Mr. Holland, Mr. Bell, I'd like to have some discussion, as would... I presume Mr. Robbins.
Well, for to use it, the people who don't know me, I am a commercial fisherman. My family lived in Virginia before Virginia was a state. It was the colony. I guess we lived here before Columbus ever found a new world. And I tell you, I feel about a lot of things. Pine nets, definitely one of them. I'll give you some Eastern Shore wisdom. If you live in a house and a man makes a hog farm next to you, be upset. If you build your house next to a hog farm, learn to live with the smell. In a case like these pine nets have been there for years and years, the ones that's currently there. I know some of these letters were people against pine nets, against gill nets, against everything that's been, I hold dear to myself. My father, ocean pine net back in the 20s and 30s, so we're getting back long before I was born. And far as Mr. Sanford's view of the take reduction plan, I was one of the original members on the Harbor Porpoise Mid-Atlantic, and that was the first take reduction team. And I turned down a seat on the Bottlenose Dolphin, and Chris Walker represents our association. I am amazed with that many takes that they haven't taken drastic measures. We've had one take of Bottlenose Dolphin on the Eastern Shore, one confirmed take. We've had a very small handful in gill nets in Virginia Beach, and we've had massive restrictions. So to think that it's not coming your way, I would be amazed. Like I say, in the gill net fisheries has been, Mr. Swickle could probably comment better than I could, but I think it's been well under 10 in Virginia. It's been very few. And most of them have been concentrated down towards the border of Virginia, North Carolina, and Virginia Beach area. And, you know, I'm very supportive of the commercial fishery. But what can happen is this. If there is more takes, they don't limit it to Mr. Sanford or Mr. Dimitri. It will be a pound net wide restriction. So you will be restricting everybody in the state of Virginia for one problem area. And that's exactly what's happened with the gill net take reductions. We had harbor porpoise takes mainly Well, we just recently had one in Virginia Waters, but almost all of them have been exclusively in the EZ and almost exclusively by out-of-state boats. But they moved the measures completely into state waters. So even though we had no confirmed takes, we're suffering a lot of measures. In a case like this where there is 40 confirmed, and some of them may not be. Some of them probably did drift in the net dead. But you have 7 live releases. You must have a considerable amount of dead takes. And in all fairness, and I don't agree with this, a take can be a live release. I have a take of a turtle. I'm the only person on the eastern in Minacomet County that ever had a take, and it was a live release, and there was no place on the form to put it. And I raised so much cane about it, they make a place now that they put whether it was a live or a dead release. Much as I would like to support commercial fishing, there's no way I can support this because, you know, we'll be affecting everybody that has a patent in the state of Virginia if there's any additional take. And they very well be doing it even if there isn't. The March meeting, this probably is a major concern. I'd be surprised if it wasn't. So.
Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to follow up on what Mr. Bowden said, indeed, I appreciate what Mr. Sanford's trying to do here. This is certainly an imminent opportunity for him. The fish would be a great commercial opportunity, but this is when you balance everything out. I don't think it's in the public interest. I think that you have an intense area of conflict here, given the recreational traffic right in this area, but additionally the dolphin entanglement, the marine mammal entanglement issue, as Mr. Bowden said, is a very significant risk. I think and. He's right. I mean, the fact that we've had a handful of entanglements in the gillnet fishery has brought massive regulations on that, and it's frankly somewhat of a surprise, I guess, that there have been that many entanglements without additional restrictions in this area. So what's there appears to be grandfathered somewhat by grace, perhaps, but I think it would be foolhardy of us to invite additional regulation on the fishery by taking this risk. So I don't think it's in the public interest either.
Further discussion? Mr. Holland, do you have a motion?
Yes, I did. I made the motion to adopt staff recommendation.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
I'm sorry. Second by Dr. McConaughey. Further discussion? The only thing I've got to add to it is, I mean, the regulation is crystal clear where it indicates that you must adhere to the fundamental tenets of the public trust doctrine, which weighs the benefits of the applicant against the benefits of the public and surrounding areas. So, all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. Mr. Sanford, you've got a right to appeal this case to circuit court. Thank you. The next item on the agenda.